Well, good morning. What a blessing to be with you all, to share the word of the Lord with you. Now, I've come over 7,000 miles. We took about, 3 hours from Manila to Korea. We had a 9-hour layover there, and then another 10-hour flight from Korea to LAX, where I long to come and have the opportunity to see you and preach the word of God to you. And here I am. And you're not here, but you are. And I'm so grateful that I can be at least in your homes through technology. What a great opportunity that we have and privilege these days that we can even use technology to still be in each other's lives. And it's interesting how the Lord has opened up opportunities for the gospel in the Philippines, all over the world, even when we have a pandemic and lockdown. I have right now 5 additional students, a few from Myanmar, Cambodia, Malaysia, Indonesia, even one from Africa was joining us, who normally wouldn't be able to join us, but because of the lockdown, people started seeking fellowship, seeking training through other means. And so it's really interesting how the Lord has created these opportunities. But before I get into today's message, which has to do with opportunities for life, let me pray. Lord, we thank you for this glorious day to enjoy you, to know you more, to worship you, to serve you. Lord, help us to look for ways that we can do that. We can express our gratitude for your salvation, our gratitude for your love, that we can express our love for each other. Lord, I pray we would seek those opportunities out and that we would use them boldly for your glory. Now speak through me, Lord. Use me to encourage my brothers and sisters. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, have you ever lost out on an opportunity and wished you had taken advantage of it while you had the chance? About 10 years ago, after the recession, many people took advantage of low home prices and bought in the Los Angeles area. As a result of that, they have gained many times, more than double, sometimes even triple their original investment. I'm actually still a little regretting that I had a little condo in Sylmar that I spent $119,000 on years ago and didn't hang on to that. What a missed opportunity that would be for me today. Well, people are still regretting missing opportunities like that. How about you? Have you ever had a good one that you walked away from for whatever reason? In 1984, in the NBA draft, the Houston Rockets missed out on the opportunity to draft Michael Jordan, and instead they chose Hakeem Olajuwon. While he was a great player as well, and he led the Houston Rockets to 2 championships, Michael Jordan led the Chicago Bulls to 6 of them and is considered by many as the greatest basketball player who has ever lived. In 2006, Yahoo, the company Yahoo, agreed to buy Facebook for $1 billion. Short time after that, after feeling some buyer's remorse, they dropped their offer by 20%, and the agreement collapsed. Today, Facebook is worth over $445 billion. Yahoo is struggling to even survive after missing that great opportunity. So I want to talk to you about the importance of recognizing our opportunities and not missing them. While the current health crisis is a tragedy, if you look from an eternal perspective, you can see that is, it can actually be a blessing. It can be a gift from God, especially when we see that these opportunities involve life and death. Millions of people who were uninterested in the gospel are suddenly thinking about life and death. Just 4 months ago, They were eating, drinking, vacationing, studying, getting married, going to work with no worries about tomorrow. Now, more than 14 million of them have tested positive for COVID-19, and over 6,000 of them, 600,000 have unexpectedly gone to face their Creator. I believe that most of them did not hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." They missed the one and only opportunity to become a part of God's family. However, they're not the only ones to miss out. We, many of us, have missed opportunities to invite them and people like them to be part of God's family. We've missed the opportunity to urge them to believe in Jesus Christ and to follow Him. We've squandered our short window of time to plead with them to follow Jesus. We've lost the chance to warn them that a lifetime of sinful choices results in being eternally separated from God. While I don't want to make light of sickness or suffering, loss, and even death, these realities can be opportunities, as they have a way of causing people to sober up and to think seriously about eternity. Difficult times cause people who usually ignore God's word and the consequences of sin to listen and consider the truth. Therefore, rather than just avoiding being too busy to discuss these topics, we need to take advantage of them. We need to take advantage of the world's momentary attention and carefully consider how we can lovingly and earnestly urge them to believe the gospel. God's word is clear that instead of wasting our chances, we need to use them carefully. The Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17, he said, "Look carefully. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Christians, understand that you have been made for times like this. Please don't waste them. Ephesians 2:10 teaches us that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which He prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. And one of the most important of those works that God has prepared for us is to be His witnesses. After His crucifixion and His resurrection, Jesus told His disciples in Acts 1:8, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth." While Jesus' disciples were focused on fixing the world's government, their needs, their agenda, and desires, Jesus revealed that He wanted them to focus on something else, something far more important. He said that instead of worrying about things like these, focus on being His witnesses. Jesus was saying that the Holy Spirit would empower His people to announce and to testify of the good news of who He is and what He has done for sinners, even if sharing that message means that we must suffer or even die. However, some of us fail as His witnesses when we are so consumed by our problems of the day that we don't recognize the opportunities for eternity. Focusing on being His witnesses was not easy for His disciples to do. It's not easy for us, of course, as well. They had a lot on their mind at the time. A lot of things were fighting for their attention. If you just think about back to their times in the early church, their risen Savior, who they thought would now take his seat in ruling the world, left. He left to prepare a place for them. Their fellow Jews, who they thought would be rejoicing with them and worshiping the Messiah with him, the one they had been waiting for so long, instead rejected the Messiah, rejected them, and persecuted them, thinking that they were blasphemers. The government of the time thought they were traitors and agitators, and because of that, many of them lost their freedoms and their possessions. This is all what was going on at the time that Jesus said, "Be my witnesses. Go to the ends of the earth and tell people about me." While the pandemic is scary, it can be the beginning of God's grace for many as he orchestrates opportunities that can lead to eternal life. I want to urge you today, don't waste the pandemic. Don't waste the opportunities that it can create. If you look carefully, the Bible is full of tragedies that became opportunities for eternal life. Let's look at some. First, we see opportunities for life through sickness and suffering. We see opportunities for life through sickness and suffering. With coronavirus lockdowns, job losses, protests, and riots, we can get caught up in our problems. But because of that, we can also miss seeing that for many of these difficult times can actually be a gift. And in John chapter 9, 1 through 4, it records a time when the disciples missed seeing the great things that God was doing through sickness. While they were walking with Jesus, they saw a blind man and they asked him, "Jesus, was it this man, Rabbi, was it this man or his parents who sinned that he was born blind?" Now, most likely everyone in town knew this blind man. In those days, I'm actually reminded of the Philippines, to survive, the only choice you have is to go to a public place, a busy place, and depend on the kindness of others. There's nowhere else to turn. So I'm sure he went to a busy town square, some well-traveled path, and everyone would have seen this blind man, perhaps for many years. And the disciples looked at his difficulties from a worldly perspective rather than from an eternal one. They didn't see the wonderful opportunity that God had prepared. Perhaps focusing on the misguided sense of justice that their culture held back in those days about the sick and disabled, they basically asked God, they asked Jesus, why did God do this to him? Many people right now are probably asking similar questions. They're thinking, why would God allow coronavirus? Others, no doubt, are saying, how could a loving God allow tragedies like this to happen? But instead of thinking like that, recognize that sickness and suffering can be one of the greatest gifts some people have ever received because it may be their opportunity for eternal life. It may be the means for them to experience God's grace of salvation. Note how Jesus responded to his disciples in verse 3. As they saw this blind man, their first thought is, well, he must have done something really bad, or maybe it was his parents. Jesus, why is this guy like that? What did he do? What did they do? Jesus answered in verse 3, it's not that this man sinned. It's not that his parents sinned. But here's the reason this man was blind, born blind. It's so that the works of God might be displayed in him. Something much more important was going on, more important than his momentary sickness and suffering and difficulties. God's glory was being displayed. This man had the privilege of being used by God to do that. His lifelong struggle was not punishment from God. It was God's gracious plan that so he could show his power, his mercy and his love to this man and to the world who recognizes what God was doing. But Jesus didn't stop there. It's interesting in verse 4. He didn't just stop. He continued and added that this opportunity and opportunities like that, when they happen, we must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. He said in John 9:4, we must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. This is pretty interesting. Jesus didn't say, you know, I've only got a short time here. I'm in the last few years of my life. I got to keep busy. No, he says, we must be busy doing the works that God has prepared. Jesus commanded that God's people, the church, must joyfully work for his glory while we are still allowed that opportunity. He said we must do it while we can, since night is coming. Now, I'm not convinced that by talking about night coming that it completely means the opportunity is over. We're all up in heaven. It could be that a time is coming. We might still be here, but we might not have the freedom or the ability to work like we can in the day when it's easy. Therefore, we must serve God through these works while it is day, while we still have these opportunities. I think about the Philippines lockdown. I and my family are really enjoying the freedoms we have here right now. I should have brought it up, but I have my quarantine pass in my bag down here in the first row. I was not allowed to leave my house except two times a week, and I cannot leave my city. I can only go to certain markets in my city, and I had to show my pass that showed I was allowed in this market. I couldn't go to anyone I wanted. I was allowed certain ones only twice a week. I could leave for groceries, medicine, or go to the hospital. Everyone over 21 was not allowed to leave the house. My kids could not leave our house for months. We got here, and after 2 weeks of quarantine, we all celebrated and went to Walmart and picked up a few things. I was able to drive and pick up some pizza from my favorite pizza place. So we didn't have the opportunities we have here. Our church was struggling. In the Philippines, we were encouraging them, how do we share the gospel when we're not allowed to leave our houses? When we're not allowed to even walk around in our subdivisions. We had friends in their neighborhood who were exercising and walking around the neighborhood, and security sent them all back home. So we've got a lot of freedom here. It's still daylight here, but night may be coming as a result of this coronavirus. Certainly night will be coming someday when these opportunities will be completely cut off. So we need to take advantage of him. Jesus was calling his disciples to work, and by extension, us to work and serve him during a time that the world's religions and governments were against them, and they are against Christians in many senses today. Now look at the result of the opportunity that came from this man's blindness. They're walking along the road again. Jesus sees this man. He knows what God had prepared that man for, what God had gifted that man with, blindness, so that God can be glorified. The disciples didn't see it. And if we look at John chapter 9, verse 35, we see the result. Jesus heard that the Pharisees had cast the man who was blind out, and having found him, said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Do you believe that Jesus is the Messiah? Verse 38, he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. His blindness resulted in the opportunity for Christ to see him, to reach out, to rescue him. He responded and worshiped, and others saw. We read about it. That was a privilege that this man got to bear. That man's tragedy was instrumental into saving his life. It was actually a blessing from God because it led to salvation. Can you imagine if that man had been born with perfect vision? Perhaps on that day that Jesus was passing down that road, that man might have been working in a market, running his business, working in the fields. Who knows? But because of that blessing, he was in the place where he encountered the Savior. I remember a friend of mine in the Philippines. I've shared with you about this over the years. He's a dear brother who's gone. I pray to the Lord. I believe to the Lord now. His name is Obet. He was born whole, but he got some kind of infection. He wasn't sure. He couldn't afford doctors, but it looked like maybe polio. His legs never developed, and he just dragged himself by his knuckles with his legs behind him. And I remember sharing with him one day after he professed faith in Christ, and as he joined our Bible studies and was worshiping and even serving and helping to lead worship playing the guitar, I said, Obet, can you imagine if you didn't get that sickness? I would have not been directed to you by the Lord, because I used to pass by the bridge where he sat, lived, and begged every day, and I noticed him, and my heart ached for him, so I pulled over and got to know him, and I shared the gospel with him. If he would have been out working somewhere else, I would have never seen him. Now, of course, my theology tells me God would have sent another saint and brought him to him another way, but that was the way God ordained, and God has used his life and story to bless and touch many. Well, not only can sickness bring opportunities for eternal life, so can suffering. Scripture is clear that God's people will suffer to varying degrees. The Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians 1, chapter 1, verse 29, It has been granted to you for the sake of Christ that you should not only believe, it's been granted that you will believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. And related to that truth, the author of Hebrews wrote in Hebrews 10, 32 through 35, he wrote, recall the former days when after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with suffering, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. For you had compassion on those in prison and joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession, an abiding one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. Paul taught us that suffering, even the kind that might lead to public exposure and reproach, the loss of property, he said that has been granted to us. In other words, it has been graciously given to us. It is a gift. It's a gift to believers, to followers of Jesus. And you might be thinking, how in the world can you say suffering is a gift? It's easy to say when you're whole, when you're healthy, I admit. But it is a gift because it allows us to go through, that is, to pay a light and temporal price to make Christ known. It is a gift because our momentary sacrifices and afflictions gain us eternal rewards when we believe in Christ. And it is a gift because God uses them to rescue the lost from eternal punishment. Could you imagine being in heaven, perhaps after dying from COVID in a hospital, and seeing a doctor or a nurse, a family member that you shared the gospel with? I think you would be thinking something along the lines of, wow, I only had to suffer in the hospital for a few minutes and lose that temporary life for this person to go to glory? What an awesome privilege. What a small price. I'm so grateful that you're here. Lord, thank you for letting me pay that small little sacrifice so that I could be with this brother or sister forever in heaven. What a joy that will be. Don't waste the opportunities of sickness and suffering, whether they are your own or someone else's. During these times, point to Christ by the way you live daily. by what you do, by what you say, in addition to those opportunities of sickness and suffering, we also have opportunities for life through persecution and loss. Now, this message here is just part of, I called it part one because I had so many other ways that we have privileges of and opportunities to point to Christ through loss and suffering. But we're moving now just from sickness and suffering to other opportunities that we can have for life come through persecution and loss. And when the church began, when they were being witnesses for Jesus, it put them in danger of losing everything. We have it so good today. Our persecution and loss might be someone making us feel bad, hurting our feelings, saying something mean to us. Presently, currently today, some people sadly are losing businesses and stuff, and not necessarily because of their faith. We really have it easy. If we look at our family in China and in Asia, in Europe, in Arab countries, we have brothers and sisters there who are losing everything for sharing Christ. So we have it so easy, we really need to take advantage of that. During the early church, people were actually commended for killing Christians, and that's actually happening today as well in some countries. Followers of Christ were driven out of their homes when the church was born. They were losing their properties, their jobs, and even family and friends. Consider Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. After Stephen was murdered for following Christ, it tells us in Acts chapter 8, starting in verse 1, that Saul, who went on to become the Apostle Paul, one of my heroes, at that time Saul approved of Stephen's execution. He was actually holding the coats and helping people as they were stoning him. And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him. His faith cost him his life. But Saul was ravaging the church and entered house after house. He dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. Now, we read this and think, wow, 2,000 years ago, wow, that was rough. But we're in America. That would never happen to us. I bet you a lot of you who have thought that or might be saying that might not feel that's such a remote possibility anymore, at least not as much as you may have in the past. As tragic as that was for the first Christians, notice what happened among those who recognized their opportunities for the gospel in the midst of their persecution. I would imagine there were some who said, how can this happen? I accepted Christ, the Messiah is here, and I'm homeless now. I'm jobless. My wife won't talk to me. My family won't talk. My parents won't talk to me. I've kicked out of my city. I'm sure there were some like that. But look what verse 4 tells us. Acts chapter 8, verse 4. Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. That's the awesome thing to remember too. Our Savior gives us peace that surpasses understanding. He empowers us to be His witness. I'm thankful that even though I'm a broken vessel, I'm a weak, sinful man, I know that my Lord has my back. He'll be there. He'll speak through me. If we are faithful, we're walking in a manner worthy, we're in His Word, that Word's going to come out. That confidence, that strength, that guidance when we need it will be there. The verb used here in Acts 8, 4, scattered, comes from the Greek word diaspora. I only mention that because we hear that word. There's even a book in the Philippines called the diaspora. I think it's called the Philippines diaspora, but it means to disperse, to separate, to sow, or to scatter, as with seed. And they talk about the Filipino diaspora because they recognize they're being scattered and going throughout the world to work. Praise God, some of them are going throughout the world to be his witnesses. God scattered his church amongst the nations as the persecution grew, and as Saul and others drew them out, drove them out of Jerusalem. They went about. They seized the opportunities created by being kicked out of their homes and cities, the opportunities that were created by the loss of their jobs, and they got busy making Christ known. In addition to Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, scattered believers even went north. They went to islands. They went to large pagan cities throughout the Roman Empire to make Christ known. Acts chapter 11, verses 19 and 20 tell us that those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except the Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who were coming to Antioch, and they spoke to the Hellenists also, preaching the Lord Jesus. They weren't so caught up in their troubles, their trials, that they didn't take advantage of the most important things. These people were going to the ends of the earth. They did this during times of great difficulty, times that we don't even understand, most of us. We've never had to go through times like that yet. They think about they ask you to think about what it must have been like at that time when they were forced to flee from their cities, probably on foot. They didn't pack up their Honda Odyssey van with all their possessions and their laptop and their flat panel TV with a U-Haul trailer behind them, or rent a big truck. They probably went by foot with what they could carry on their backs. They had to figure out how they were going to live, work, and buy food. They didn't take their Visa and American Express with them, their PayPal or whatever they were using. Surely they worried about those that they had left behind, perhaps even family who rejected them, their church that they had to leave behind. And yet in the midst of all that, they did not miss the opportunities for the life-saving news that Jesus forgives the sins of those who believe in him. Acts 11:21 shows us the results of their faithfulness, the results of them taking advantage of the times. It shows us what can happen when we focus on God's glory rather than being consumed by our circumstances and emotions and fears. Dr. Luke wrote in Acts 11:21, "The hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord." For many of those believers, their hard times didn't just end with persecution and loss. They didn't just lose property. Some of them even lost their freedom. It's amazing that some didn't even waste the opportunity of prison. The Apostle Paul spent many years in many different jails. And he wrote in Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, "I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ." That implies he made sure that people knew why he was there. It was for Christ. "And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, they are much more bold to speak the word without fear." I was always fascinated by Paul, who often urged Timothy not to fear, to take advantage of what he has, his heritage and what God has given him and the gifts and the opportunities, and to preach the gospel no matter what. And he told that to Timothy sometimes in letters while he was in jail. Timothy could have been thinking, "Yeah, right, follow you, follow God, and where does that lead me? It leads me to prison, maybe to death." Paul wasn't ashamed to tell him that. And even here, his fellow brothers became more confident by his imprisonment. They didn't say, this might cost me my freedom. The government might crack down. They didn't worry about that. They were more emboldened to speak the word of the Lord without fear. Paul shared with the Philippians that while his circumstances on the outside, yes, these may look bad, actually in reality they were good because they resulted in making the gospel known. God uses injustice against us, suffering, sickness, loss, difficult times, and even prison for our good and His glory, especially when we use those opportunities to point to Him. We should not be shaken by difficulties. Jesus warned us that times like this would come to those who follow Him, and He said in Luke chapter 21, verses 10 through 13, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. I believe He's talking about the distant future, but these things continually happen from the time of Christ till now and even in the future. There will be great earthquakes and in various places famines and pestilence. It's interesting, we don't use that word pestilence very often today. In English, that it means diseases and pandemics. Jesus continued, and there will be terrors and great signs from heaven, but before all of this, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. And this did happen to the apostles. And this has happened to Christians throughout history. It may happen to some of us today, and it's going to happen more in the future. And Jesus said in verse 13 here, Luke 21, verse 13, that these kind of things, this will be your opportunity to bear witness. If this is you, if this is me, if we're in a prison cell for Christ, don't curl up in the fetal position and cry, why me? How could God let this happen to me? Say, Lord, how can I glorify you in this opportunity? How can I be your witness? I've read many accounts. A book I love, Safely Home, while it's a fictional book by Randy Alcorn, it pictures persecuted believers in China, in prison, some of them, for the gospel. And this is happening today. It's been happening. It will continue to happen. And there are wonderful stories of people who recognize those opportunities in Chinese prisons. And they use them to lead their guards and their fellow inmates to Christ. Sometimes it even resulted in their death, but they recognized that was a privilege. Believers of all time have faced difficult circumstances, and we can always use these opportunities for Christ's glory. Don't waste them. Now let's look at another way that God has granted us to make Him known. Opportunities for life can come through trials. Now, Pastor Paul's been preaching through James, and I hope that this is even more fresh on your mind. And looking at James in light of our own circumstances today, consider his command to the scattered believers going through hard times. As he said in James chapter 1, I'm going to just highlight several verses through there. But in verse 2, he said, count it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, or that also means endurance. Verse 4, let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And then he picks up in verse 12, blessed is the man or woman who remains steadfast under trials. For when they have stood the test, they will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love Him. Verse 22, but, and here is how we should live during times like this, during tough times. Again, he's writing to dispersed, scattered, persecuted believers. We need to be doers during those times, doers of the word, not just hearers only deceiving ourselves. Genuine believers should not be paralyzed by tough times like an unbeliever would be. James says, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away at once and forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." And we will be blessed when we go through trials like we are today, when we persevere and not simply survive through them, not simply eat our canned foods or MREs or in our basement, but as we thrive and are doers of the word. Trials provide us with many opportunities. As the passage says here, they test our faith. I've thought about this a lot of times. I thought, do they test our faith to show God that we're really His, that our belief's genuine? That was my initial thinking. And then as I thought it further, I'm like, no way, God already knows. He's the one that chose us. He's the one that gave us faith. They test our faith, these trials, to show us what we're made of. I think it just shows us emphatically that, wow, I went through the fire. Christ was walking with me through it. I still stood strong. I still served Him. I still worshiped Him like Job. I was able to look at suffering and loss and say, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." It proves to us that, wow, God is with us in the hard times, and my faith that He has gifted me with is genuine. Trials also allow us to experience God's faithfulness as we see He is always with us. He'll never leave us or forsake us. They give us the chance to mature and grow spiritually. Trials give us the opportunity to store up treasures in heaven as we become the hands, the feet, and the mouth of God to those who don't know them, as we tangibly show love, as we help our neighbors, as we love our family, as we reach out to those who are hurting, who are scared, as we bear their burdens. Trials give us opportunities to do that. They also allow us to serve God by being doers and not just people who know about the word, but we actually do it. Our temporary trials can be what God uses to lead other people to eternal life. Men and women have spread God's fame through taking advantage of the opportunities caused by sickness, suffering, persecution, loss, imprisonment, and trials for centuries. Now, perhaps you're watching someone that you know or came across go through trials like this. You might be amazed at how they're going through suffering and sickness or loss with such peace and with such hope. You might be wondering, how in the world can anyone respond like that? How can you lose your job or your home or not know where your next meal's coming from and not be mad at God or blame someone else or have such joy? You might be wondering, how is that possible? Perhaps someone like that is urging you to follow Jesus while they are suffering those losses and even facing death. It could be that their difficulties are God's grace as He offers you the opportunity to receive eternal life. These things might be God's loving kindness calling you to come to Him. You see, your opportunity for life may be coming through the current pandemic. Your opportunity might be happening today before your very eyes as the world is in shock and awe and fear. This might be the opportunity for you to bow the knees and follow Christ as your Lord and Savior. The coronavirus might be your last chance to become a part of God's family, so don't reject His plea for you to be saved from eternal punishment. Don't make excuses like, "I can't accept a God who allows tragedies like this." Because of mankind's sinful choices, our world is cursed. It's cursed because of what we've done and what we continue to do. And that has led to natural disasters like earthquakes, floods, tornadoes, diseases, and famines. Stop blaming God for the consequences of what we've done and continue to do. Instead, believe the truth that God the Father has sent His only Son to die and to pay the penalty of your sins, of the sins of everyone who believes in Him. Recognize that while He loves mankind, He is holy and He is just. Therefore, He must punish sin. If He just overlooked it and let it go with no consequence, He wouldn't be just. He's holy and He's just, and He must punish sins, and He will punish everyone for their sins unless you beg for Christ's mercy. And in that situation, He will pay the penalty of your sins by laying it on His Son instead of you and instead of me. So humble yourselves and acknowledge that you are a sinner. Turn away from pursuing a lifelong pursuit of sin, and instead pursue a lifelong pursuit of following Christ. The great news is that He is faithful to forgive the debt owed for sins by everyone who believes in Him. Don't squander this closing window. Don't lose your chance to receive His forgiveness. Don't believe the lie that your sinful choices will not result in being eternally separated from holy God. Don't believe the lie that there's a second chance or that you can do something to save yourself. Thank God for these difficult times if they have caused you to believe in His grace and receive His gift of mercy. Now let me switch gears. I've talked to those of you who might not know Christ. I'm urging you to believe and follow Him. But how about my brothers and sisters who believe in Jesus? Some of you might be wondering, well, how can we take advantage of opportunities when we are being asked to stay at home? This was a big question we had in the Philippines because we weren't even allowed to leave. We didn't even have the freedoms there that we have here. While it has lightened up there a bit, it's still not as free as here. But let me give you some suggestions of what my fellow brothers and sisters, what we can do during a time like this, how we can take advantage of these opportunities. First, plead with God to give you opportunities and that you won't waste them. Like Paul prayed, pray for me that I will speak out boldly for the gospel. Pray that I will be given opportunities to proclaim it as I should. So we start there. Lord, give me opportunities. Help me not to waste the pandemic. Help me to speak up and not be afraid. Help me to fear You more than I fear men. We can also be on the lookout for opportunities as we go about our day. Now, my last probably 10 haircuts I gave myself, I'm afraid to look at what it looks like in the back, but I haven't been going to the barber, but some of you do, or the beauty salon, or some of you gals maybe getting your nails did. That's an opportunity. We have lots of opportunities like that we don't realize. In the Philippines, we had our water delivered to our house, our drinking water, until the government cut that off. But if you have some kind of regular deliveries coming to your house, those can be opportunities. You can share with your spouse during these times, your children, and anyone else in your homes. I just finished reading a book last night with my kids. And my wife, we've had a lot of great time of home Bible study and fellowship, many more hours than we've had in the past. If you are not sick and you don't have any symptoms, don't hide from the world and solely be focused on self-preservation. Even if you are sick and have symptoms, you can still reach out to friends and family over the phone, over the internet, or for some, even in the hospital. From a safe distance, we can share with our neighbors. From a safe distance, we can share with people as we get our groceries or meds at work. We can leave tracks for those who we come across. Now, I'm not a fan of just leaving a track without having a conversation and really getting to follow up and engage with someone. But in times like this, I think that's better than nothing, and that's a creative way that we need to be intentional. I was driving through McDonald's in the Philippines. We're not allowed to eat inside. I think it's the same here, but we could drive through. It was closed for quite a while, so we were so excited. After about a month, I said, oh, I'm going to grab a bunch of hamburgers for my kids. And then there was some gal standing at the drive-thru with masks on selling little rugs to try to make some money for their family. So I was prepared for that. I reached down, grabbed some tracks as I'm passing through, and I gave them a little bit of money, and I gave them the tracks. And while I couldn't sit there and engage with them, it was a blessing to see in my rearview mirror, they sat down and they're reading them. So however the Lord might give you opportunities, look for these opportunities that we have through suffering, through sickness, through trials, through persecution. Live for eternity. Don't waste the pandemic. And Lord, I thank you that our mouths have not been shut, that we still have freedoms here, more than many countries. And I pray that you would give us many. And that would be our joy, Lord. We would not be so focused on uncertainty and difficulties and fears that we would forget the big picture and not look at eternity. Lord, I pray that many would sober up during this window of time, that they would hear the gospel, they would consider it. I thank you, Lord, that you are drawing many to yourself. Open their ears, their eyes, and their hearts. Open the mouths of believers. Move the hands and the feet of believers to be your instruments. Lord, even if we have to take risk, even if we lose life, what a small price to pay to see others worshiping you for eternity. You certainly are worth it. And we thank you for that privilege, Lord. Empower us and guide us to be your joyful witnesses. I ask this in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.